You may be seated. Scripture lesson for this morning is Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. And Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables and said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Again, he sent out other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding.' But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business, and the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious. He sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding.' So the servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, 'Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, 'Bind him hand and foot, take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen.'" And we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, these are your words. We pray, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. And dear fellow redeemed, in 2005, Owen Wilson and Vince Vaughn starred in a film called Wedding Crashers. Two guys sneak into wedding receptions to eat and drink and to try to take advantage of naive women. Well, there really are people who do this, who show up uninvited, hoping to talk their way through the food and the drink and the women. And this is not new. Jesus crafted such stories when he preached and taught about the kingdom of God. Perhaps it was a problem even back then. We have one such example in front of us, the sermon text for this morning. This is the sermon text for the 20th Sunday of Trinity. But Jesus' story about wedding crashers, it doesn't have a happy ending for the lawless, self-obsessed, death and darkness, weeping and gnashing of teeth are their final reward. And Jesus' parable is pretty thinly veiled. The king, that is the king himself, God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And this king has a son, which is clearly Jesus. After all, the heavens have opened for no one else to have the voice of God boom down saying, "This is my son whom I love." Gabriel has appeared to no other virgin to tell her that she would be with child and that her child would be called the Son of the Most High. So yes, this son is the son. And he's in love. He wants to spend his life, his eternity, with a special someone. But all those invited, all those thought to be friends and family, refuse to come to this celebration and join their king's happiness. And they reject invitation after invitation. They even mistreat and kill his servant and messengers. And this king's patience is not infinite. The time comes when he no longer uses his strength to protect and to provide for these people. He can also use his strength to give his subjects the wages that they have earned. And that's not the only unhappy ending in Jesus' story. After others are invited, people of bad reputation, people with no relation to the king, people off of the streets, both bad and good. After all that, there's another offense. At least one man has come dressed in his own clothing. Now, weddings in these days, they had specific attire. and money is no object for a king. He would provide an anteroom where a person could change. And the king stocks this room with more than enough wedding garb. And so this man has walked into the reception without getting dressed in the attire that the king wants him in. Is he like the cowardly modern wedding crashers in that he hopes that he'll slip by unnoticed? Or is this man so arrogant to think that he does not need to wear what his king has provided? Either way, this king has every right to demand and expect that the people he plays host to, that they be dressed appropriately. Such a wedding crasher is thrown into outer darkness. Jesus' wedding story does not make heroes out of the arrogant and the defiant. But if the king in his story is God the Father, and if the Son is Jesus himself, well then who are these people? These people who reject the invitation, who mistreat God's servants, and the ones who fool themselves into thinking that appearing before God is a come-as-you-are affair. Well, these people clearly are the sinners, which means that they are us. Ask yourselves, how have you played this role in the parable? How have you treated God's invitation with contempt? How have you treated his messengers in the same way? How is it that you expect God to accept you as is? No change is necessary. Are we really so perfect that we are fit for heaven in the rags of our own righteousness? Our own half-hearted works and paltry efforts? God's warning, Christ's warning, are not idle threats. Destruction is the end of those who live in rebellion of him, outer darkness with only tears and gnashing of teeth for all eternity. Yes, Jesus' parable about a wedding is no comedy. And yet, dear fellow redeemed, it is not all bad news either. There are rays of hope and love shining in this darkness, lighting a path for us. And here is where we, guilty sinners, here is where the likes of us can find our hope. There was an invitation made in Jesus' parable. And whether you are a resident of the town or whether you are one of those nameless people from the streets, good or bad, God the King clearly wants you in his banquet hall. His Son has chosen his love, and he has prepared the feast for the wedding, and God has invited you. Your invitation is described in such well-known verses as John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Your invitation to this wedding is heard in Jesus' words, "Come to me, all you who are weak and heavily burdened, and I will give you rest." And don't think that you were a last-minute invitee. No. You, before the foundations of this world were even laid, God determined to send his Son for you. You are invited. And you needn't worry about what you should wear. The King provides that for you. You are to be dressed in the robes that he provides. Isaiah 61, verse 10 says, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness." Your fellow redeemed, before you enter to completely celebrate the union of his Son with the one that his Son loves the most, God himself will one day take off all the uncleanness of this earthly life. He will dress you himself in the garment of salvation, the robe of righteousness. Yes, this dark story is not so dark after all. Sin, rebellion, death, weeping, and darkness, these do not define nor describe God's children. These things do not define you. You are forgiven. You are invited. And you are dressed in the best gowns that this king owns. You are dressed in the salvation and righteousness of his own son. And so here is perhaps the greatest plot twist of all. It turns out in the end, you are not just someone who's been invited. You are the guest of honor. You are the bride. You are the one that this king's son has loved most of all, the one that he has pledged his life to, the one that he has loved from eternity. Rebel, stranger, invitee, guest, and finally bride, Jesus Christ has made us from one into the other. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. And then please rise as we pray the collect on page 162. Pray. Lord, we beseech you, grant your people strength to withstand the temptations of the devil, and with pure hearts and minds to follow you, the only God, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.
Lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.